Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, the first vaccine against human papillomavirus, or HPV, which causes cervical cancer, came out about 5 years ago. But recently, it's become a hot political topic, thanks to the Republican presidential debate in which candidate Michelle Bachmann inveighed against that innocent little 12-year-old girls being forced to have a government injection. Well, you know, vaccines in general have come under fire in the past several years. They've been alleged to cause autism and other developmental problems in children. But joining us this morning as part of our series Public Health Today, to set the record straight, are Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Cynthia Morrow, the Commissioner of Health for Onondaga County. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
So first, Dr. Morrow, help us understand what exactly is human papillomavirus and why is it so dangerous?
Well, it's the most common sexually transmitted virus in the United States. More than or about 50% of sexually active adults have HPV at some point in their life. And I think that the concern is that this virus, while usually our bodies clear it, this virus can cause normal cells to become abnormal, which can in turn lead to cancer.
So there's a real danger of what kind of cancer does it usually cause?
Typically we associate it with cervical cancer, but it can also be associated with anal cancer and vaginal cancer and other types of cancer.
So the notion is that we want to vaccinate who? I mean, basically.
We want to vaccinate all individuals prior to the time they become sexually active. Because once you get infected with the vaccine, one of these types of viruses, because there are many types of the same HPV virus, the vaccine is not effective. So the idea is to really, like with other vaccines, is to really make sure you're protected before you get exposed.
Okay, but this is young girls only, or is it male as well as female?
Well, it has been an official recommendation for girls for a couple of years, and then just this year it became an official recommendation for all boys as well.
Oh, wow. So it really is kind of a huge umbrella.
Yes.
That they're trying to, or a huge
net. So all
net.
Children, basically.
All children, right. And they're recommending that they occur at what age then?
Roughly. So anywhere after 9 years of age, so between 9 and 12 years of age. There are normal booster vaccines that occur around 11 to 12 years of age, so this would be part of the routine vaccination process that a child at that age would be getting.
So in the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Physicians, and I see the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, all are supporters of this idea.
That's correct. And again, it's really the idea is to incorporate into other routine adolescent vaccines starting at age 11 or 12.
So where's the controversy? I mean, in your mind, where does the controversy stem from?
Well, from what I hear, it's the concern that this particular vaccine or this virus, you get the virus through sexual activity. And so some parents are concerned that why are we giving it to someone 12 years old when they're not sexually active yet? Some people may be concerned that you're going to be promoting children becoming sexually active. We've not found that with any other vaccines that we've given. So the point here is that you want to give it before the child gets exposed. And so at 11 or 12, during their routine vaccinations that they're getting other things, such as meningococcal vaccine, they're getting booster for their tetanus and pertussis, to really give it at that time so that they are well protected before they ever get exposed. And it may be 10 years before they get exposed, but before they get exposed.
Right. It seems to me, though, it sounds like a similar argument, the one you raised, that the parents might have, to why not teach sexual education or even hand out contraceptives or that kind of thing, or make contraceptives available. It's somehow the fear that you're promoting this kind of young, active sexual behavior.
And I'm not sure that there's any evidence to support that whatsoever. I think that the concern is this also falls on the heels of all sorts of other unsubstantiated concerns regarding vaccines. You know, the autism link has been proven over and over to not exist, and I think that that's really critically important. We have ample evidence that supports that vaccines are very safe, and we also have ample evidence to support that vaccine-preventable diseases, for children who are not vaccinated cause significant sickness and death. So for us in public health, it's really a no-brainer. We have an incredible tool to protect children, and we need to do everything that we can to ensure that children are maximally protected by encouraging vaccinations.
Yeah, you know, I read that up to 12,000 women a year in the United States get cervical cancer, and 4,000 of which can die from it. So it's really not, this is not a simple or a light concern. It's a serious concern.
And a lot of these women are younger than you would expect. They're not in their 60s or 70s. They're in their 30s, sometimes even in their 20s. So they're young. So if we can prevent anyone, this is a very preventable disease. A simple vaccine can prevent, for the most part, anyone getting this.
And in addition, those are the individuals who get cervical cancer, but there are tens of thousands more who have to go through the process of having abnormal cells being evaluated and having surgical procedures to prevent them getting cancer when these atypical cells or precancerous cells are identified. So that's the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more sickness or complications associated with this virus before we even get to the cancer stage, and I think that that's really important.
So is there a concern about the vaccine, though, in terms of its safety?
No, the vaccine has been around for a long time, and it like every intervention, there are, of course, side effects that we can't minimize, but they are certainly, in my mind, worth the risk. So people can get soreness at the site of the injection. With any vaccine, it's possible to get what we call a systemic reaction, where you get a low-grade fever associated with the vaccine. Some people have what we call a vasovagal reaction, where they faint after they get the vaccine. But all of these are minor if you compare them to preventing cancer.
I think the interesting point for me is this notion of what Michelle Bachmann raised. And again, I may differ from her, but this notion that the government is mandating vaccination. And I'm curious to know, as the public health experts and people who obviously are very engaged and invested in the public health and public safety, what do you think about this idea?
Well, I think we've been giving vaccines to young children for a long time, and the idea is that you protect the larger group of individuals so that if there is one individual that potentially might get infected, you're going to minimize that, because the larger group of people, it's kind of the herd effect. The larger group of people are protected so that if there is an exposure, you will not get a large number of people getting sick from it. And again, for most of these vaccines, including this one, I mean, this is cancer. Getting the infection is much worse than the side effects of getting the vaccine. So the government really looks at all the information that they have, and they look at it very carefully before they make a decision on what recommendations that they have for children to get vaccinated.
Do parents have the right to opt out in New York State if they choose to?
There is no philosophic exemption in New York State, meaning that you can't just say, I don't want my kids to be vaccinated. Of course, these are school requirements. People can homeschool their children. But if you want to go to a school, if there's a medical or religious exemption, that is allowed.
Okay. I know that I've read somewhere that in some of the states, parents are starting to opt out, not necessarily of HPV vaccine, but other vaccines, and it's causing kind of an uproar in the general community because of this notion that you mentioned, this herd effect.
Well, I think it's important to know the reality. In California last year, 10 infants, perfectly healthy infants, died of whooping cough or pertussis. Had everybody who had contact with these children been vaccinated, those 10 perfectly healthy babies would not have died. So it's really frustrating to me as a public health official to have this sense of, you know, my child shouldn't take the risk of getting vaccinated. It's about protecting the entire community. And when in 2010 we have babies dying of a vaccine-preventable disease, it's heartbreaking.
And in addition, isn't there an upsurge in the incidence of this disease as well? So it's not just affecting those 10, but potentially affecting
numbers. Those are the worst case scenarios, right, of healthy infants. And of course, there are all sorts of other implications. I mean, there are people who are sick it's not even just the sickness, it's the productivity. When your children are sick with pertussis, you need to stay home with them. There are all sorts of implications to not using all of the tools that we have to decrease the risk of vaccine-preventable diseases.
I actually heard someone, I think from the NIH, commenting on this whole occurrence, this whole trend, saying that today it's easy because we have no recollection or very minimal recollection of some of those rampant and devastating infectious diseases like polio and things that we now can control or are now basically under control. And if we were to lose that herd immunity, which is very precious, you know, no one would want to see any of those things coming back full force.
Well, and I do think that it's really important for people to know we live in a very small world now, and measles has been at record levels in Europe. We are one plane ride away from diseases that we don't typically see within our own communities, and that's one other reason. It's just yet another reason for us to make sure that we maximize our vaccination rates.
I think we are. That's, I think, the very key point. We are in a global world, and there is all of the diseases that exist worldwide, we are potentially, could be affected by.
Right.
So does the vaccine actually last? I mean, is there a need for additional vaccination if you were to get that vaccine or when you get the vaccine?
As far as we know, it does.
I think that it's very specific to the vaccine you're talking about. You know, we've talked about a lot of different vaccines.
Oh, no,
with
right.
HPV, they're now looking at boosters after 5 years.
Right.
So, one of the things that I look at is chickenpox. We came out with one, and then after a few years of experience, we realized that they needed a booster. So it really depends on the specific vaccine. And at this point, we are probably going to find out that all kids should be vaccinated again at some point, but we're not sure yet.
So that in a sense, it's too early to really know whether that is a requirement.
Well, what they're doing is the following children who've gotten the vaccine and looking at their levels, their levels of immunization in their body, and then seeing if it starts to drop, then there may be some need to give a booster.
You know, it strikes me that this whole notion of individual freedom in our country is a real complex issue in terms of the good for the public safety versus it's the idea of being able to cry, you know, not to be able to yell fire in a crowded theater. I always think of that when it comes to issues of public health, because very often we are making requirements of people and in a sense potentially hampering their individual liberty in the sense in order for the greater good. And clearly, I think in an area of public health, that's essential. I mean, seems to me.
Yeah. And I do want to clarify with HPV, right now it's a 3-shot series. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure people understand that.
The initial
is a 3-shot series, and we don't have a booster at this point. Some people consider 3 shots, you know, so but we'll see as time goes on.
Yeah, it's a pretty new vaccine. I mean, we know the safety history.
Oh, the safety record is great.
Is good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And well, you know, as we follow these children who've gotten vaccinated, and we should be seeing a drop in the cervical cancer rate as they start getting into their 20s and 30s.
Well, that will
be a while before we see that, but I mean, that is really the main reason why we're doing this, is to prevent something that really shouldn't happen. But because people get infected during sexual activity, this is an opportunity to really protect them before they even start.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom, expertise, and all this very important information with us. My guests have been Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Cynthia Morrow, the Commissioner of Health for Onondaga County. Well, there's more HealthLink on air ahead after this short break, so please stay with us.